He left off on Daf Chaf Hamed Aleph. We began a discussion about braver, a very, very shas kind of a topic. It basically boils down to when I try to create a chalos, but not really right now, I kind of leave things hanging as to the specifics of what I'm trying to create to be determined later. Can you have this notion called retroactive designation? I'll be revar it later, I'll figure out later, and I'll say, well, we'll go all the way back to the present. So how do we in the world we get into this topic? Because the Mishnah spoke about it. A person goes to Sofer and says, write a get for behalf of one of my wives. Well, that one had the same name, and I'll decide later which one I want to choose. So when the Sofer writes a get, is that called writing a get l'shmona? So maybe you'll be yesh breira, then yes. But ain breira, then no. So the Gemara began to discuss other issues of breira. The Gemara started to cross lines between cases of breira where it's up to me to decide later, and case of braver where it's going to be determined based on other factors, literally out of my control. The Gemara began to discuss what's the din if a person writes a get for the first woman that walks through the door. So that's not the same as the first woman who I choose. So is that the same kind of a shayla or not? So the Gemara finally says on Chaf Hamed Aleph, when Abaye makes his observations, the first word of is Abaye, it's about 15 lines or so up from the bottom. So Amar Abaye, the original question was, when I have a question, I have an issue of Breira, which is depending upon other people. The Kapashim, they told me, that's Atzmo. And then the Gemara brought a proof of a case where a person is having a Breira based on his own decision. And then the Gemara brought a question against that. Another case of Talmud Asachim, it was jumping back and forth and back and forth. So in a certain sense, it may be more appropriate to say Breira when it's Talmud Asachim. When it's Talmud Asachim, so I realize right away I'm out of control. So when I realize that I'm out of control, so that I'm still saying it, I probably really need to go through with it. When I'm Talmud Asatzmi, when I'm depending upon my own decision, so I don't know, so I'm not so convinced. I'll decide later. When a person feels that they're in the driver's seat, so they're not willing to go full force ahead. But a person is told that's a chayrim, so that they're more willing to go through with this particular kingdom. So Amar Rava. Rava says, why are you making such details, whether it's told that that's atzmo, told that's a chayrim? My question, Dilma demanda is the brain. If you really believe that brain works, lo shna told that that's atzmo, lo shna told that's a chayrim. There's no difference between the two cases. Is the brain. Those who accept brain all the time. Uman delays the brain. And those who deny brain, they also hold that it doesn't make a difference. So this now becomes the point of contention in the Gemara. Is there a svar, is there a reason to differentiate between the two? So the Gemara is going to begin to now dig up a whole array of tanoim who in fact may differentiate between the two. So I'm going to Rishash and Rava. So Rishash is at the Rava, but I'm going to prove to you that there are tanoim who distinguish between the two. Our Rabbi Yehuda, the total of das atzma leisei brera, we have documented that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of total of das atzma, when I try to make a chalos, and I make it dependent upon something that I am personally going to do, we know for a fact that Rabbi Yehuda denies brera. But we also know for a fact the total of das achirim is the brera. There is a case where Rabbi Yehuda does accept brera when I make it dependent upon somebody else's decision. So once I could prove that there are tanoim with the friendship to do, then I know that that is a valid distinction. But now we have to pick up those tanoim. We have to find those cases. The Gemara attempts. Talmud asks for leis debrera. Where did Rabbi Yehuda to say that a brera that depends upon you is not a brera? Deciding, look at the brisa. It's a fairly famous brisa. If you look at the side of the Gemara, you'll see it appears in Chulin, Bava Kamma, Sukkah, Erevin, Numa, Me'ila, about six, seven different places in Shas. One of the most famous cases, this side, we looked at the price. If a person buys wine from Kusim, the Kusim themselves were complicated, a bunch of people. They were basically the people who were brought over towards the end of the first place of Mikdash from foreign lands, the Goyim, who were brought from the kings of Ashur, the king of Ashur, who conquered the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. In the ancient times, what they used to do is they would conquer an area, then they would start to mix up the populations. It was a military, political consideration, because that way, if you had the wrong people living in the wrong place, they were less likely to make a rebellion, but they weren't so attuned to the area, they didn't know the people so well. So that was a common practice. So he brought Zerchera, brings all these chevra of a place called Kuta into the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. And slowly but surely, they start getting a little bit exposed to the Jews that were there, and they converted to some degree. I say to some degree because very, very little degree. They were still over there by the Zara, and they were still practicing Judaism. There was a big, big mix. And it was very unclear who these people were, what their status was in Halacha. But and this went on for hundreds of years. It was unclear who these chevra were. And then finally, in the later, later years, the days of the Amorim, it was decided they just they're not observing Torah properly. They just got into the deep end. And their descendants are still around today. They're the Samaritans. They're the Shomronim, the ones who live in the Greason area. And they're not considered to be Jewish. Even in the state of Israel today, they're not registered as Jews. They're their own entity. So if a person buys wine from them, I remember we were once in Exodus Wakola, we had a trip to High Greason area, and we drove through one of their neighborhoods, and there was a big sign, a wine store. So I got so excited. I told everyone, if we don't buy wine, we can fulfill this price. Except that now we treat that wine as being trade, because it's considered to be going. But in those days, it was still considered to be kosher wine. The problem was that the Kusim were not at all careful with Trumas and Isras. They were pretty bad in this area. So if a person buys wine from the Kusim, he has to separate Trumas and Isras. The problem is that in this particular case, he can't do it. It's impossible. He can't be mouth for Trumas and Isras. He doesn't have a barrel to put the Trumas and Isras into, or perhaps a Shabbos. Whatever the reasons are, he has his barrel of wine. The Trumas and Isras have not been separated from, and he cannot physically separate it. Obviously, he can't drink the wine until he does so. So what does he do? What options are available to him? Yes, this is an appropriate sud, a little too much fat, a little bit of the barrets, and we chop around a little bit. Al-Kechi Yahweh ben HaKusim. Omer makes the following statement. Shnei lugin shani asir lahafrish, harei hein truma. In the future, tonight, next week, when I get a place to store this wine of truma, I'm going to set aside two lugin. Since he has 100 lugin in his barrel, 100 measures in his barrel, he's going to set aside two of those lugin as truma. But he doesn't do that yet. He just says, I'm going to do that. Asara maiserisha. And I'm going to set aside 10 of these lugin. They should be maiserisha. Tisha maisersheni. I set aside 9 of these. They're going to be maiserisheni. Because I read a clip of 10 for the first, so now I'm down to 90. Umecho. And then he redeems that part of wine that he set aside as maiserisheni. The show to me, I did it every day. But Ray says that you can go ahead and drink the wine. So the question is, how in the world can I drink this wine? I didn't really separate Trumas and Isis. If you think about it, I didn't pull anything aside. I didn't even declare which part of it is going to be Trumas and Isis. So Ray says, that's okay. You know why? Because when I set aside Trumas and Isis now, even though I didn't designate now which part is going to be, this is bravura. This is retroactive designation. Tomorrow, but I actually decided at the end, after I finished drinking, I got a couple of lugin left in the bottom, and I declared that to be the Trumas and Maaseres. That's going to work retroactively. It turns out that I really did separate Trumas and Maaseres. So there is a concept in Halacha of this retroactive designation. Rabbi Meir does buy into this principle called Yesh Breira. However, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Osrin, all the other Tanoim, including Rabbi Yehuda, or of the opinion that you cannot do this stunt. Why can't you do this stunt? So at this stage of the Gemara thinks that the reason is because Ein Breira. How in the world can I drink wine now when I haven't separated Trumas and Maaseres yet? Because I said that I'm going to separate it tomorrow and it's going to be retroactively. That's nonsense. Say Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon. That doesn't work. That's not Chala. That's not Trumas and Maaseres. And therefore, we have documented that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda denies Breira, at least in cases where it depends on his decision. He's going to be the one to decide which is the truma. But we also know that Rabbi Yehuda accepts Breira, but it depends on something else. What is that something else? Tola b'das acherim isle Breira. Where do we find that Rabbi Yehuda says that Breira works when it depends on something out of his control? Just we look to the Mishnah. Mahi ba'osan hayamim. What is the status of the woman during those particular days? And this is like halfway into the Mishnah. The Rashi fills you in that what the Mishnah means in the following case. What the Mishnah has been talking about previously, if a person gives a get to his wife, but it's a conditional get in a very, very strange way. He doesn't really want to divorce her, but he wants her to be divorced when he dies. What does he care after he dies? because he doesn't want her to fall for Yibum or Chalitza. He knows he's got a brother in Australia somewhere, and he doesn't want to bother her that she should have to go run to go do Chalitza. So he's trying to do her a favor. He's trying to divorce her that at the time of his death, she should already be divorced and therefore not have to be subject to the mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza. The problem is, how does he do that exactly? So you can't write again and say that he's hereby divorcing his wife after he died. After he died, and get the achamisa. The get does take effect after you're already dead. But he doesn't want to divorce it anymore. He wants to remain married for the next 50 years with her. So how's he going to word this? So he has a very, very strange kind of a get. He writes a lashon of a get that this get should be effective as of now. If I die from this condition, so the get will go back retroactively. So wait a second. Right now, the get is not taking effect. We want the get to take effect right before he dies, retroactively going back to today. How's that going to work? That's a brera kind of an issue. And that's a brera, which is not up to him. He is not going to decide. He is going to decide when his time is going to come.
How did the soldiers?
Oh, that was very good. These are the kind of gittin they used to write, right? These related kind of gittin. They would write this very, very strange gittin with these tenoyim that in case I don't show up, this is what should happen, right? It's the same type of a gittin. So the problem is, how do you get around? How do you write such a get? So comes the Mishnah says the stan might be also the yom. So what's her status during these days? Lamaisa joined for the next 20 years. Is she married? Is she not married? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer Reikish Shish Lachol Barel. Rabbi Yehuda says she's a full fledged. She's a full fledged married woman for all these years. But when he dies, havigita. Then it goes back retroactively, and the get takes effect. So how can it be that such a tenai works, such a retroactive get works, but it was something that was dependent on a different force, which was out of his control? You see from here that, yes, Itaka does work. So you see from the view of Rabbi Yehuda that distinction between Tol B'das Atzmo versus Tol B'das Acherim is really a correct distinction. And Rabbi Shasha didn't stop it there. So only Rabbi Shasha, some of the guests, Ravina, the Rava, I'll bring you another Tana who differentiates between the two. Ha Rabbi Shimon, the Tol B'das Atzmo Leis Debrera. Rabbi Shimon also holds that when you make a retroactive designation based on your own decisions, sorry, that's not going to work. Leis Debrera. But the Tol B'das Acherim is Debrera. But if it depends on somebody else, then in fact there is Brera. How do we know that Rabbi Shimon bought into those two opinions? Tol B'das Atzmo Leis Debrera. Rabbi Shimon holds that when you are the one in control, it doesn't work. Hadi Amar, we just learned that. Rabbi Shimon was one of those same Tanoim who said you can't separate Tumas and Maishas like that retroactively. The Tol B'das Acherim is Debrera. Where do we have on record that Rabbi Shimon held that when it depends on somebody else's das, there is Brera? Decide you will look at the following Brisa. Hareni Bolech Amanas Sheyirtza Abba. So a person gets married to a woman and he says to her that they're going to be together, but only on the condition that your father likes me. He doesn't want the condition to be a toe-face unless the father's okay with it. So he makes it tonight, it depends on somebody else, either his father, her father, somebody's father, he has to prove the shidduch. So comes the first time and says, Alpha Bishalora Tzabikadeshus. Even if the tonight wasn't fulfilled, the woman is still married. Why is that? Because they had Kiddushin Bia. When it comes to Kiddushin Bia, according to one opinion, you can make a T'nai in Kiddushin Bia because, of course, the person doesn't want to do a Bila Tznus. So it'll turn out that if the Kiddushin are invalid, then they had the relations outside the context of marriage. You're not supposed to do that. So the Tana, the first Tana of the Brisa says, even though he made such a T'nai, he didn't really mean it. He was pretty sure that he would be approved, but so he made such a silly tonight. But the kiddush is chal no matter what. And Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says the name of Rabbi Shimon, Chai, Ratza Ab Kedeshes. If the father likes it, then the kiddush is valid. Lo Ratza Ab Ed Kedeshes. The father doesn't approve, and the kiddush is not valid. So how can it be? How can you make a tonight that depends upon somebody else's consent? That's a brave issue. So you say, yeah, yes, brave. And whenever it's told that's a chayrim, that's considered to be brera. So Mishara says, well, according to the second Tana, it won't make a difference. Only according to the first Tana, who denies that there can be a Tanai by Bia, that's where the Bryce is pointing the case of Bia. But it was the same question, but I think it's Mishara. So Amalei, so finally the Gemara concludes, Bein Rabbi Yehuda, Bein Rabbi Shimon, Lo Shnatom B'das Atzmo, Lo Shnatom B'das Acherim, Islo Brera. All of these Tanoim do accept Breira. It doesn't make a difference whether it's Das Atzma, Das Acherim. Always Breira is going to work. So what's going on with that Chumas and Maisa story? The person tried to separate Chumas and Maisas, and then he sets up this retroactive designation, and three out of the Tanoim say it doesn't work. So the Gemara says we had it all wrong. The entire last Amud, we misunderstood that Raisa. Why is it that in the case of the guy who buys wine for the Kusim, and he tries to be Mafresh Truma, depending upon what he separates by tonight, why is that not valid? Nothing to do with Breira. Also, concerning time, if you look at the end of that Raisa, the Raisa explains exactly what the problem was. Amud of Rabbi Meir, the other Tanoim said to Rabbi Meir, how can you accept, how can you approve of a Trumas and Maisas in such a wild way? That you're going to drink the wine now, hope for the best later. They can separate later. Aren't you afraid? What if the those who like the canteen, like these animal skin canteens? So you have all this wine in this canteen, all the wine in the barrel. How do you know it's not going to break? How do you know it's not going to rip? How do you know that wine that you set aside to use as truma by tonight, maybe that wine may end up getting spilled out, and now it'll turn out that you have no wine to separate. It turned out retroactively, you drank Tevel. That's this is their icy. You drank Tevel. At least the Shema, it's pretty serious Avera to drink the wine that was not separate Shumas and Maisas properly. So the reason why the other Tanoim didn't like that stunt of being mouth for Shumas and Maisas at a later point, not because it doesn't work. It does work. It's just it's really, really bad policy to Gezeira, the Rabbanon, Shem Yivacha, no, the canteen may break. The Nimtzeh shows it to follow the Mafreda. It turned out that you're drinking Tevel retroactively. And what did Rabbi Meir respond? Rabbi Meir said, we'll worry about it when the canteen breaks, we'll worry about it. He said, oh, it's not going to happen. The odds that's going to happen are unlikely. So basically what the Gemara just did was, it completely backpedaled from that brisa. So we had that brisa about the separating of Trumas and Maisas retroactively. We thought that the machlokes that Tanoi was, this global machlokes that permeates all Shas, but the Yesh Breira, name Breira, the Gemara backpedaled and said, that's not true. Everybody agrees Yesh Breira, but that is different because of some really, really tangential concerns. At the end of the day, this is not the only sugya in Shas. We said about seven other sugyas in Shas about Breira, and it's still unclear what different Tanoim hold about this topic. And finally, Maseches Beitza, the Gemara seems to posit. I say seems because some Rishonim have a little bit of a different way of reading that Gemara, but the simple reason the Gemara is that we posit that when it comes to Dinim D'Oraisa, in Breira. You can't rely on Breira to say retroactively you can drink the wine, retroactively you can get the get, retroactively you can read the Karm Pesa. With the rice in Breira, we have no this concept of retroactive designation by the rices, but with the Rabbanan Yesh Breira, like with the Rabbanan, we can be more mako, we can be more lenient, we can rely on the principle of Breira. So that's pretty much the way we probably pass it. That principle with the rice in Breira, that's the final word in the Sefer Beitza. By the Musa quote that Gemara, they say, the rice in Breira, when it comes to learning Torah, there's no choice. That's not what the Gemara means. It's just a cute, cute, catchy phrase. In Breira, there's no choice. You got to sit and learn Torah. But the Maisa La'aloch was asking at least with the rice in Breira. So now the Mishnah goes back to regular Gittin stories. The Hakaisev Taisek Gittin. If a Sofer is writing the forms of a Gittin, we know that, like documents, 90% of the document is the standard text. It says, I'm hereby divorcing you, and da, da, da. But the details, namely, what's your name, what's her name, what's the time, what's the place, those kind of stuff. So that's not the tofes again. That's called the toref again. But the tofes again, literally, the tofes is like a form. It's a standard form. Okay, there you go. Okay. So the Sofer wants to get a couple of these boilerplates up and running, but he suspects it's going to be a tough week this weekend. A lot of getting around the corner. He doesn't want that a couple's going to come to him and say, okay, we need to get in the next hour. I got to start from scratch. So he says, just give me a name there. I got all the forms are all ready for you. So a Kosev Tavse Gittin, the person is writing these Tavse Gittin, he has to be careful. He has to make sure to leave the man's name out, umakam isha, and the woman's name out, umakam azman. He's got to leave the time out as well. So anything that is specific to this get has to be left out because
it's the shame
of the isha. It says, tzach sheniach umakam ish.
If you leave a place for the name of the.
Well, I think it means the place in the
boilerplate, you should leave out.
The whole thing, it's you have to go. Yeah, you have to. I'm sorry. You have to. You have to name the person and the plant, the whole thing, right? Whatever is necessary. Makom Isha means the place in the shtar of the man, no? I mean, it means the place where the man is. I don't know, I think it means both. It means the maestro, you both. You have to, if the guy starts filling in the name of the place, the name of the person.
I thought about like the spot.
Shim Roa Tamar. Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think it means the place in the paper. It's going to have, yeah. I mean, you have to leave the place of the person also, because you're right, moving from New York, you write the place of the get is also. But here it doesn't, I don't think it means that.
Isn't this the obvious?
Well, you might as well fill in what light is. We'll see. The bottom line is all the concern of Rishma. Because if the surface starts filling it in before, so then it's a lack of tzidi abal, a potential lack of mishma, which may not be the same thing. So the bottom line is that you have to leave out the specifics of that given get. And the same is true when it comes to shtare milva. Even though there's no bit of mishma when it comes to a document of borrowing money, you have to leave out who's the malva, who's the loiva. How much money is being lent, and the time as well. Or shtar nekach, when you're writing these forms for sale documents, you have to leave out the name of the buyer and the seller and the dimensions of the field. You're gonna write a field, you don't know which field is gonna be sold, so you gotta wait till the plot number one, in 127 in the town records, you have to identify exactly which piece of land you're selling. What was man? So all of this, these halachas, are b'nei hatakana. There was a special takana sachavim to do this. So the Gemara is going to explain what was the takana exactly. The takana is that you have to leave these places out. The takana was that we let you write the forms in the first place. So it's a little bit unclear what exactly we refer to when we're saying the takana. Rabbi Yehuda plays a bakul. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't like any of this kind of stuff. He can't have any of these advanced forms being written. But again, the Gemara is going to explain what the potential problems are. Rabbi Elazar machshir bakul. Rabbi Elazar says that you can do these stunts with all the other ones, chutz begitei nashim, except for gitei nashim. Why should never because of all the shema? Because the get has to be written l'shma, and even though technically speaking, the tofes, the form part of the get, doesn't really mean a Torah after written Shema. That's not the real thrust of the get. Abba Bichain, Rabbi Elazar was concerned that if you start writing parts of the get Shalom Shema, very, very quickly you're going to end up writing the important parts Shalom Shema also. So therefore, as a general rule, Rabbi Elazar said that all get, you got to wait till you get the green light from the Baal before you start putting the pen to the paper.
I thought it was like a metaphor, so an attempt to slow down the Baal's cast that he shouldn't go through with that meaning.
Right, that's also true. The Gemara has that in other places about certain takanas that Chazal made to try to slow down. We don't want the get to be written so quickly. The Mishnah in the end of Abbas is a fascinating takana. In the olden days, when a Kohen, when the Darish's wife, it was a special kind of get that he used for a Kohen to slow him down extra, because if Yisrael divorced his wife, it's a terrible thing, but in theory, as long as she doesn't remarry, he can technically take her back again. Whereas if it's a Kohen who divorced his wife, again, he's gone forever. So they made a special kind of a get called the get makusha, which involved the whole long, long, complicated procedures for the get could actually be ready to go. And the whole reason was to pull down the kohanim to make sure that nobody jumped the gun too fast and divorced them.
So for me, it takes a long time for $100 on Tubi Shabbat. It goes to the Sofa. The Sofa actually has a shtar written that says bring Shimon $100. They down Tubi Shabbat. And he sells them that.
Technically, that would probably be okay. Yeah. That would probably be all right. You weren't supposed to be right. That's the whole discussion about that. Yeah. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out what exactly is going on in this Mishnah. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel said that before we figure out why the Mishnah is saying what it's saying, let's just make sure we have all the things clear what have to be left out in the form. What are you not allowed to write? So the Mishnah said the man, the woman, the time. So Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel adds on another key line. You have to leave out that line. That's the key line of the get. Now, the truth is that we repeat that line many, 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 many times over in the get. But that's like the thrust of the get. That's the S. That's like the opposite of Harab Kadesh. It's an interesting comment. Taisa says that if you look at our Gittin, So we say that theme over like five times over in Aramaic. We write over that you should be free to marry if you want. No one's going to stop you. And we keep on saying, we're saying it. The Tosa says it's not 100% clear whether we have to say those magic words. Or whatever. The Tosa says we throw it into the book. But those are the words that Chazal used. So we put it in also. You know, and then, if you don't have that example, it's like my Kedushin. If a person doesn't say exactly a Rebbe Kudeshes, the guy says, I'm giving you a ring, you can be my wife. That's also a Lashu Kedush. It doesn't have to be those magic words. So to over here, it doesn't have to be those magic words of Rebbe Kudeshes. But the Mass, that's what we wrote those words. Those words definitely do appear in Aikin today. So Shmuel says that you have to make sure to leave out all of this in the get. Why is all this important for Rabbi Elazarhi? Because this Mishnah, this Sugya is following the view of Rabbi Elazar. We've seen Rabbi Elazar quite a few times this year. The Amar Eidei Mesira Karsay, Rabbi Elazar was the Tana who subscribed to the view of the Eidei Mesira Karsay, that you don't really need Eidei Chassid. You don't need Eidei to decide to get altogether. The Torah for sure not, and maybe even the Rabbana not. So when the Torah speaks about writing again, it is not talking about signing again. It is talking about writing again. And therefore, all of the halachas of Lishma do not refer the Torah to the signing, which doesn't exist in the Torah. They all refer to the writing. And that's exactly what Rabbi Elazar says. But even Ksiva Lishma, since the halachas in the Torah, you require Ksivas to get Lishma, therefore you have to leave out any part of the get that's critical. So even though in theory one would have thought, why can't I write a Rebbe Taz Chalada beforehand? Every get's going to have that line. So I'll put that into my boilerplate. I'll put the same couple of seconds down the line. Can't do that. Because if you're not going to write those magic words, the Shema, that's going to disqualify the entire get. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, the theme and the whole approach of this Mishnah is basically following the view of Rabbi Elazar. Now, we've already seen in early Mishnahis, in the second parak, a whole bunch of Mishnahis that weren't 100% clear whether they were Rabbi Elazar Mishnayos, whether they were Rabbi Meir Mishnayos. So the Gemara is going to go on and now try to say that according to this view of Shmuel, that all these Mishnayos are Rabbi Elazar Mishnayos. So what do you need them all for? So the Gemara says, Tzricha. I need all the above. Yesh bin ha-kamaisa. If you're going back to one of the early Mishnayos back in the beginning, which spoke about writing again, it's something which is Torah. You're not supposed to write again, it's something that's b'chubal akarka. So yesh b'achamais b'ahu the equally open Rabbi Elazar. So there, it makes sense to follow Rabbi Elazar. If Tani ain't kosin, if Tani kosin, there uses the word kosin, which seems to lead us to believe that everything revolves around the ksiva, which is Rabbi Elazar speaking. Aval seifah, but the end of the Mishnah, the second parak, if Tani ain't kiyam again al b'chosmav, there the Mishnah used the phrase chasimas. Rabbi Meir, I would have thought maybe that Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. And Shmuel said, no, even that Mishnah was Rabbi Elazar. Maybe that other Mishnah was following Rabbi Elazar. Now Mishnah, to say that the beginning of the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar is a little funny, because Rabbi Elazar appears in the end of the Mishnah. So usually if you have a stop Mishnah and then the name of the Tana appears, it's more likely that he didn't speak in the beginning of the Mishnah. The Gemara says that it's not true. So Tzricha, our Mishnah, whether you like the text or not, our Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar b'tchilat Yatzayif. So the entire theme of all these Mishnahis is Rabbi Elazar speaking, which is not a great surprise, because that's how we pass that law. So that's from the next year. So the Gemara is going to discuss what this Takana was, what exactly Rabbi Elazar said fundamentally, what you are or are not allowed to do. Okay, stop.
Have a great day, everybody.
Good day, everybody.
Thank you.